It's hard to imagine the young woman with the elfin face and long dark hair as a 60-year-old. Elizabeth Herfert, Liz to those closest to her, would have marked such a milestone on September 3rd, 2021. Instead, her 18-year-old self is forever caught shyly gazing out of grainy newspaper photos from more than four decades ago. I'm Nicole Overall, creator and host of the Capital Crime Files podcast. On the ominous date of Friday the 13th of June, 1980, Liz left a Canberra bar alone, never to be conclusively seen or heard from again. 40 years later, on the occasion of Liz's birthday in 2020, I had the opportunity to meet with her younger brother, Alistair, who was just 16 at the time of his sibling's still unaccounted for disappearance. Mindful that he might be a little hesitant, he'd expressed that the family has felt let down to a degree on past endeavours. To make things less formal, we caught up at a local golf club. Getting to know each other better by talking about our respective histories, I'd also provided Alistair with the research I'd done up to that point. Before broaching the heart of the matter, we raised a toast in memory of the sister he describes as the softest and sweetest person he knew. Himself now a middle-aged grandfather, in contrast to the timeless, youthful face of his sibling, with her almost Mona Lisa-like smile, Alistair's is a map of the underlying grief he's lived with for so long. He shared with me how it remains a soul-burdening hurt that gets suppressed by the noise of everyday life, but which never fully subsides. A metaphorical jack-in-the-box, at intervals tucked away, only to leap out at unexpected moments, startling you afresh each time. Such thoughts lead me down the rabbit hole of my own teenage memories, a top 10 Billboard Hot 100 song from the early 80s, too expensive for me to secure copyright permissions to play even an excerpt here, though you might like to find it yourself, or take a look at my Instagram feed, where licensing allows it to be used in reels. It's the Burt Bacharach and Hal David 1960s standard, covered in 1983 by British pop duo Naked Eyes. Always something there to remind me. Liz's fate has chilling echoes of a number of other regional cases, including that of 20-year-old Karen Rowland 9 years earlier. In those two situations alone, both were slim, attractive young women with longish dark hair. Both vanished on a Friday night in a similar time frame, and both were seeking lifts in central Canberra locations, not too far apart. The major difference, of course, that Karen's body would be discovered almost 3 months later within the confines of the Fairburn Pine Forest, around 10 kilometres from where she was last seen alive. Despite all of that, there's been a reluctance to suggest any of these unsolved cold cases are likely to be linked. Having delved deeply into the individual situations, my intention is to bring to the forefront the factual details, weaving in the relevant social and cultural background at the local level and beyond in order to magnify and clarify the picture. It's also about trying to prompt and elicit any recollections, memories, or potential connections from anyone who might know, because inevitably, there's at least one who does. In doing so, I remain grateful for the ongoing support and encouragement of the family and friends who have borne the weight of these tragic situations for so long. Among these is Alistair Herfert. He acknowledges the emotional strain of raking over the past, much like the salt sting on an open wound, but also the necessity of this friction in order that Liz doesn't become just a sad local memory, out of time and context.
Look, we've gone through this process a few times over recent years.
Yep.
Each time it's a little bit cringing, But we accept that that's the only way we're going to get the word out.
Mm.
There's a lot of shit out there, and I think you've sorted through that. So that's why you've come to us in a really great way, and I can feel your sensitivity, I can feel your connection to it.
On that fateful 1980 evening, the intelligent, thoughtful and kind Liz had left the ANU bar on her own after socialising with friends. She was wearing dark jeans, a brown and white striped pullover and two-tone runners, with a tan leather shoulder bag with a design engraved on the flap. In the still small Canberra, buses were fewer at night and Liz was cash-strapped. Like others in that different era, she must have felt it would be safe to hitch a ride to her mum's house in the Woden Valley, less than a 15-minute drive away. Around 9:30 p.m., a person described as matching her description was seen by passers-by seeking a lift along Commonwealth Avenue. This one of the primary spokes branching out from the city's civic centre. It passes over the top of Lake Burley Griffin, continuing south towards Capitol Hill. More of a slight rise than a hill that's ringed by two concentric main roads, the State and Capitol Circles. In 1980, it was devoid of any structure, sporting little more than some scrubby bush. 8 years later, replacing the previous iteration of 1927, New Parliament House, designed in the shape of two boomerangs and topped with an 81-metre or 266-foot flagpole, would rise atop it. For those following the Karen Rowland story as part of this podcast, Commonwealth Avenue was also the thoroughfare Karen travelled along before taking an exit to the left after driving over the bridge, in the vicinity of where Liz was last thought to be seen. Karen's white mini miner was found abandoned only a handful of kilometres away on Parks Way. In Liz's situation, one potential witness would state he saw a slight female with a man wearing a distinctive hat standing near the back of a stationary vehicle. It was stopped close to the first set of traffic lights, less than a kilometre from where the bridge meets the opposite shore of the lake. Further off to the left is the 7-storey Treasury building. On the other side of the 4-lane arterial road, the 250-roomed Hyatt Hotel and the British High Commission overlooking the intersection. Whether the woman was Liz is yet another of the many unconfirmed elements. What is known is that the next morning, her mum woke to find Liz hadn't come home. Universally agreed by those who knew her best is that there was no possibility she would just up and disappear and make no attempt at contact, ever. A primary suspect would emerge, the man seen acting aggressively towards a young woman with long hair by the side of the road. Publicly dubbed Harry the Hat, in maintaining his innocence, he willingly cooperated with police. He also declared that his car had been garaged the entire night and he at home, and details were provided to corroborate this. Certainly there was never enough evidence to commit anyone to trial. It would be 13 years later, in 1993, that the Canberra coroner Ron Cahill ordered an inquest into Elizabeth Herfert's suspected death. This was despite no body being recovered, the first time this had occurred in the nation's capital. As a result of this process, unsubstantiated suggestions were aired. This included a claim by two men that they'd abducted and imprisoned Liz. They later recanted, suggesting it was nothing more than morbid attempts at attention-seeking. In the decades to have passed since, theories, leads and persons of interest have arisen and subsided. As with other unsolved cases of the Canberra region, so has the ugly shadow of notorious, now-dead serial killer Ivan Milat fallen over this one. In the face of a new flurry of activity based on Milat's death from stomach cancer in October 2019, Alistair and I discussed this prospect. He's of the view that while it's a long shot, with nothing concrete otherwise, the backpacker murderer should at least remain in consideration until anything might emerge to definitively rule it out.
Yeah, you know, Ivan Milat's sort of way out there, but, you know, he's still not off the hook. I mean, he's still there.
Just 3 years after Karen's body was discovered by accident, Mary Ann Bertram was found in 1974. She was naked and had been strangled, dumped at the edge of scrubland near Sutton, a tiny hamlet that leads onto the highway in Sydney, and geographically not overly distant from the Fairburn Pine Forest. And 4 years after Liz disappeared, on a Saturday afternoon in 1984, 17-year-old Megan Mulquinney vanished after a shift at Big W at the Woden Plaza. Also considered the absolute opposite of her normal behaviours, she too has never been seen or heard from again. And there are others. In 1971, Karen Rowland's father Jeff made a plaintive and heartfelt statement to the media. It's the not knowing that really hurts. This haunting sentiment reverberates down the years for others similarly affected, like Alistair Herfert and his family.
You know, you mentioned Palmer House going up. I worked on Palmer House from 1986 to 88. And all the time I'm working up there, I often thought, could she be buried underneath the bloody foundations of it? Living here all my life, around that time, as I say, I've walked on the other side quite a lot of my life and hoping that I might hear something, you know, but I know there are darker sides of the town that I would never venture, I suppose, and maybe that's where they are, but I've met some pretty yucky people, but no one has ever shown me anything or give me any sort of insight as to what I'd have to lose, or any of these people for that matter. We'll never get any resolution there, so I feel a bit hamstrung, you know?
In the face of this uncertainty as to where to turn next, this is how I hope what I'm doing might be able to help, even if nothing more than to tell the full story. I'm not trying to single-handedly solve these crimes. My focus is to gain critically needed attention for them once more, for those who remember, those who might have forgotten, and those who have never known. So am I wanting to provide a voice for family members and friends who, for whatever reason, with the passage of so much time, have come to feel disillusioned and unheard. It's only through continuing to discuss these tragic matters, raising awareness, encouraging people to come forward with whatever information they might have, however small, that the breakthrough for police might come, that answers might finally be unearthed. After all, someone out there knows the truth, and time and the chance to discover it continues to slip through our fingers. As hard as it is to continue to do so, and that includes for me, what we talk about is important. My constant refrain when asked why I do it: what if it was someone you loved? What if it were you? And as I'm pleased to let Alistair Herfert know, I'm not the only one. In 41 years, no one has ever seen or heard from Liz again. Her bank accounts have never been touched, her ultimate whereabouts yet to be discovered. While Karen's loved ones at least eventually had the chance to say goodbye and lay her to rest, Liz's family has not even been afforded this dignity. And so, I'll continue to do what I can, and I'll be exploring and presenting the more complete story of Liz's bewildering fate in upcoming seasons of Capital Crime Files. Along with Alistair, I've also had contact with witnesses and friends of Liz Herfert, including those at the ANU bar on the night she disappeared, journalists who covered the apparent crime, and some of those involved with its investigation. If you have any information relating to this situation, please feel free to reach out to me at capitalcrimefiles.com.au, on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or contact Crime Stoppers. With thanks to all those who continue to assist me with this podcast, not least the family, friends, witnesses, and those involved. It is indeed a challenge, but my greatest hope is that it's a worthwhile one. Also to Steve Forrest for audio mastering, Sam Worry editing, Ed reading, and Alaric for original music, Beck Rose art. Keep safe, and we'll talk again very soon.